Before I go into my message for the evening, I'd like to take a little survey. This will not obligate you in any way. I'm just interested. I'm speaking to you tonight on the topic, where did we get our Bible? And I would like to know how many different versions are in the audience tonight. How many King James? About 18. How about the New King James? How about the New American Standard? The New International Version? Nestle's Greek New Testament? The Amplified Version? The Living Bible Paraphrase? And the New Living Bible? There's two versions out at the present time. Now, I have in my notes ETC. Anybody else? Thank you very much. As we deal with the subject of where did we get our Bible, we deal with this subject. There are four different subtitles: inspiration, canonicity, do we have the right books in our Bible, the languages in which they were written and translated, and the translations, which we have noticed are becoming more multiplied as the days go on. Because of time limitation, and I can't borrow from this morning, Brother Ernest, we're only going to deal with inspiration. And will you turn with me to 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. George T.B. Davis used to say, this is the second 316 that we have in our Bibles. I was interested also to note that I believe Brother Bill McNeil knew George T.B. Davis, a great old man of the book. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. We think of the sovereignty of God, and we believe that God is sovereign in our lives. But we also need to note that God is sovereign in the book. He chose what writers to use. And think of it, he chose ignorant fishermen to write the book. Peter, James, John. They weren't theological graduates. They weren't even college graduates. They were common laborers that God said, I'm going to use to write the Word of God. He also chose the material. Just what he wanted us to know. He gave us his revelation. There are a lot of things in the Word of God that I don't understand. And there is a lot of things that I'm going to ask Paul when I get to heaven. What did he mean by some of the arguments and some of the attitudes that he gives, especially in the book of Romans? When you study chapters 9, 10, and 11, there are a lot of questions that ought to come up in your mind. But God has not chosen to give us more revelation of himself than what is written in the Word of God. All Scripture, Paul writes to Timothy, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, the Old Testament and the New Testament. All, not rejecting that which condemns us or that which we do not agree with its ideas, we'd be in a sorry state of affairs if our judgment is placed upon the Word of God. There's no contradictions, which is the proof of an infinite author. Now, there are those who do not agree with us. And there are those who do not agree with the Word of God. For they think that the Word of God came to us by natural inspiration. We read a poem, we read prose from an author, and we say, he was inspired. That is not what Paul means when he says, all Scripture is inspired of God. There are those who believe in natural inspiration who say the book is just a human production. It's liable to mistakes in fact or doctrine. I disagree violently. It denies the supernatural, the denial of miracles and prophecy. There are degrees of inspiration, a second theory. Unknown facts. No serious errors in recording of facts. But the remaining portion composed without inspiration. And who is to choose? Who is to choose whether the facts are right? Who is to choose whether there are errors? Who is to choose what part is composed without inspiration? I'm on very shaky ground if I take such a position. When the Word of God says, all Scripture, all the New Testament, is inspired of God. And we'll deal with that in a moment. There are those who believe in inspired concepts. God gave thoughts to men, and they developed them as they remembered them. An infallible God would then be entrusting his infallible truth to fallible men to write as they saw fit. Let me read you that again. An infallible God, a God who makes no mistakes, entrusts his infallible truth, and he is truth, to fallible men, men that can make errors, to write as they saw fit. Verbal dictation. Every word was dictated by God as to a stenographer, makes writers mere machines. And Brother Don will verify me on this, that the style of John in the Greek New Testament is very different than the style of Paul in the Greek New Testament. When we in seminary come to read the Greek New Testament, our professor does not begin us in Paul. He begins us in John. He doesn't begin us in the first six verses of Luke, for they are very difficult to translate. But John is quite easy to read. Now, if God dictated what is in our Bible, then Timothy would read, all Scripture is given by revelation. And then we have the problem of eyewitnesses. John was present at the foot of the cross when he heard the Lord say, John, take care of my mother. And mother, I'm giving you over to John. He was the eyewitness of what took place at that time. And there is no need, this is my point, there is no need for God to reveal to the Apostle John what happened at the foot of the cross. Rather, inspiration causes John to write exactly what happened as he saw it at the foot of the cross. So the true view that Paul purports here in 2 Timothy 4 is this. Every word in every part of the original manuscripts of the Bible is given by inspiration of God through the Holy Spirit. God breathed, free from error. Now you say, we don't have original manuscripts. I realize we do not have. But we have translations and manuscripts that go back to about the 6th century A.D. And they are the closest that we can get to the original. So that we have translations and no original manuscripts. But God, who kept the original writings from error, could keep the translations from error. Do you follow me? The God who caused John and Matthew and Mark and Luke to write without errors could cause the translations which we have in our hand, and they're multiplied. I didn't count them up. How many different ones are in the audience tonight? But we have the assurance that the words which we're reading is the Word of God. Are you discouraged tonight? Do you have a problem? You find the answer in the Word of God. God has revealed to us in His book how we should live. How did we get our Bible? By divine inscription. And by that I mean, Moses held in his hand the two stones that God wrote the Ten Commandments on it. Now, follow my thinking. If Moses has the Ten Commandments on stone, there's no need that the God of Sinai, in some mysterious way, reveals to Moses that which he already knows. For he holds the two new stones. Remember, he broke the original stones, and God says, take a new stone. In 1 Chronicles 28:19, and we won't turn to it, God gives the pattern of the temple. David didn't know how the temple was to be. Moses didn't know how the tabernacle was to be, and God revealed it to him, and God says to Moses, now you go down and you build the tabernacle according to the plan that I showed you in the mount. And then David comes, and God says to David, or rather David says, I desire to build a temple for your use. And God says, I want you to make it like this, but you won't build it because you're a man of blood. That son that comes from your loins, Solomon, he will build the temple. And we read of the beauty of the temple. We read of the dedication of the temple in the book of Chronicles. We have some divine dictation for the seven letters to the seven churches in the second and third chapters of the book of the Revelation. The prophetic portions of the prophets, where God says, thus saith the Lord. I want you to take notice of what I'm saying here. Thus saith the Lord. You have another illustration that comes to my mind, where Paul, in especially in chapters 7, 8, and 9 of 1 Corinthians, where Paul says, this I speak as a man. And then he says, this I speak from God. This is a revelation from God, especially when he's dealing with the problems of marriage and divorce. The historical records. Matthew is an eyewitness. Mark got his facts from Peter. That's the theologian's viewpoint. And Luke, the historian, says, I have searched and I have written down. Let me give you an illustration. Luke is writing the genealogy in Luke 3. Every good Jewish town has a listing of the people that have been born in the town. And so, Luke goes to the temple area, or he goes to an official area, and he asks for a listing of the descendants of Adam. And they're given to him. No need that God reveals to Luke the names that he ought to record in the genealogy. And the same thing is true in Matthew. Only Matthew goes back to Abraham and brings us up to Adam. John is an eyewitness, and Moses could record, as he does in the book of Exodus, concerning and Leviticus as well, every sacrifice that has been made. Moses was an eyewitness and could record. Don't be led astray by thinking, as some would think, that Moses couldn't read and write. He was a graduate of the University of Cairo, in Egypt, as he was trained to be a son of Pharaoh's daughter. Moses could read, and Moses wrote down, first of all, as we'll notice, Moses did record the record concerning the creation. Moses wasn't present when creation was formed, but God said, this is the way it happened. This is the way it happened. And I'll tell you how it happened up until you come upon the scene, then you take up the writing of the record of how I led you through the 40 years of wilderness wandering, how I led you through the Red Sea, how I brought you up on two different occasions up to Kadesh Barnea before I refused to allow you to go into the land of Canaan. Joshua, you lead the children of Israel into Canaan. Now, Paul writes to Timothy that he has in his hands the inspired Word of God. It was interesting, while we were out on the Navajo reservation, I preached with an interpreter, and I preached on the safety which we as believers have in the Ark of Noah, a foretaste of the protection and salvation we have in Christ Jesus. And it was very interesting. I didn't preach as rapidly as I'm preaching tonight. I would rather preach in about sentence forms. And I was told that I might use 6 words and my interpreter would use 1, or I might use 1 word and my interpreter might use 6. For there were elderly Navajo women and men in the congregation who did not know English. But I was told afterward by someone, a Navajo, who knew both Navajo and English. He said, we didn't have the Old Testament in our language until about 1985, I think the date was correct. So he said, many of our Navajo preachers don't preach from the Old Testament. I enjoy preaching from the Old Testament, if you've taken notice. And Paul says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. How would you know of your sins if it were not for the Word of God? How would you know of your salvation and my salvation if it were not for the Word of God? How would you know of your protection if it were not for the Word of God? How would you know of your glorification if it were not for the Word of God? It's profitable for reproof, for conviction. And there are those who read the Word of God and say, so what? I have counseled with couples with marital problems, grave marital problems. And immediately I take them back into 1 Corinthians and show them what Paul says concerning marriage. The rules of marriage, the basis for divorce, and I have had people say, I don't care what the Word of God says. We're going to get a divorce. That's dangerous grounds. When we hold in our hands a book that is true, beyond question, we hold in our hands a book that is true. And Paul says it is profitable for correction. All of us are too old to play
athletic games, but I understand, and we in our household play games. And in every game that we play, there's a rule book. And we play according to the rule book. This is our rule book. And we need to know the rules and play according to the rule book, the Word of God. Paul also says, it is for instruction in righteousness. Babes in Christ need teaching. That's why we have a Sunday school. To hide the Word of God in hearts. For instruction in righteousness. That's the reason why we have two services on Sunday and an instructional service on Thursday night. So that we can be taught. So that we can be taught in righteousness. That, verse 18, that the man of God may be complete. I believe the old King James says that the man of God may be perfect. Or an adult. Or grown up one. That's the reason why we use the Word of God. That the man of God may be perfect, fitted, or fully equipped. No need for further gear. The answer to every problem. It in the Word of God. I need to get a plug in for my horse that I'm riding. January 1st is coming up, and I would urge every one of you on January 1st to begin to read the Word of God in Genesis 1. And end in Revelation 22 on December 31st. I use various plans. This year I'm using a plan which causes me to read some chapters in the Old Testament and some chapters in the New Testament every day. This is a big help, especially when you get into the first 5 or 6 chapters of 1 Chronicles. That's hard reading, I will admit. And I'm glad on those occasions when I'm in 1 Chronicles 1-6 that I have something for my soul in the New Testament. I don't know where I am at that particular time. But there's something in the New Testament that I can read. If you're interested, talk to me and I'll get you copies. That you can follow such a procedure. I can remember with joy coming down to breakfast, seeing my mother reading her Bible, and she read her Bible through every year that I can remember that I was home. I would urge you to do so. Thy word have I hidden in mine heart, that I might not sin against you. You've got to learn the basic facts of the Old Testament to be able to appreciate what Paul is developing and what John develops and what Matthew, Mark, and Luke develop in the New Testament. You need to know. And I say this again to the praise of my mother. 95% of my basic Bible knowledge that I know from the Old Testament came from her teaching me from Bible storybooks and from the text of the Bible. And I urge you. So let me read you this paragraph. Oh, may we love our Bibles more. Read them more. Study them more. Meditate on them more. Don't just read when in trouble. Feed the soul every day just as you feed your body. Father, thank you that we have an infallible book in our hands. Thank you, Father, that we can preach from an infallible book, that you have revealed thyself to us, that we know